This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hot stove time. We welcome in our friend. And when we say our friend, we do mean that. He's one of the best guys you ever meet in journalism or anywhere else. Adam Berry, MLB.com. He covers the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's out in Vegas, the winter meetings. Adam, good morning. How's everything?
Oh, good. Thanks for saying that, Colin. And only if because I woke up before 7 a.m. local time in Vegas to talk to you guys.
Don't lie. You've been up all night at the tables.
There are no clocks in Vegas. It's just like jail. You have no sense of time. It just kind of is what it is, and you move it along.
That's basically the winter meetings, too, yeah.
Where are you staying, by the way?
We are at the actual winter meetings resort and casino, the Mandalay Bay.
Oh, no, not bad. It's 7 out of 10. All right, let's talk. Is Francisco Cervelli getting traded?
I don't think. I mean, it still could happen. I don't think it's necessarily being forced to happen, especially after Ivan Nova was traded. I do think this is more of a scenario like, let's say Andrew McCutchen two off seasons ago, not Andrew McCutchen last off season, where they are listening. They are going to take offers. If somebody does blow them away, they'll do it. If not, they're not going to move him just for the sake of moving him, because they are a better team with him and Elias Diaz on the same roster, just because of the depth that gives them behind the plate. And, that's another hole that they would have to fill, another area they would potentially have to go out and, look to patch up, in the off season behind, fix up what they have behind Elias Diaz at this point. So I would be surprised at this point. I was less surprised that they moved Ivan Nova. I was more surprised that they found a taker for Ivan Nova and his entire contract. But just because they moved Nova does not mean they will move Cervelli. They'll continue to listen, of course, but I have a hard time finding the right taker out there who's going to pay, Cervelli's contract and give what the Pirates want in return. So we'll see, but my instinct at this point is still no.
Do Gung, Chisenhall, and Lyles already eat up whatever money they saved by getting rid of Nova?
Well, let's do the math here. Chung Ho is at $3 million. Chisenhall is $2.75 million, and Lyles is going to be $2 million, assuming that deal is completed. Plus the incentives that you'll be able to give Chung Ho and Lonnie Chisenhall, if they're able to reach the plate appearances, incentives that they're probably likely to at least earn some of those. So I would say you're going to give a significant amount, if not all of that, of Nova's salary to those three guys, yeah.
So is it wrong I'm sorry, Adam, is it wrong then to expect their opening day payroll to be more than the 70 to 75 that it's currently projected as?
I think somewhere between 75 and 80 seems a little bit more reasonable, because you're probably looking at, like you said, I think it was 71 before Lyles, probably closer to 73 without accounting for those incentives. So I would think, they're not done. They do still have, a couple moves left to make. So I would say probably, somewhere between 75 and 80 seems like a reasonable thought, projecting it out.
Does the front office, and particularly the highest reaches of the front office, and maybe the ownership group, understand the disdain that may come with having an opening day payroll of $75 or $80 million?
I would have to assume that they do, just based on the response they saw, with the attendance last season. Even though the record was better, it was basically a response to not how they played, but what they did. So, I would say they're very much aware of it. They do remain convinced that people will come out if the team wins again. I've heard a lot of response, from people who say that's not the case, basically, but it's kind of a chicken and egg thing. They're going to have to win first to sort of test that theory. But, I think from the front office, the baseball ops department, they don't really concern themselves too much with the public perception of the payroll. They're a lot more worried about what they can do with the payroll that they do have allotted. I can't really speak for ownership, because we don't get a lot of access to that and their thoughts on the payroll at this point. So that'll be once again a thing in spring training when Bob Nutting does talk, getting his thoughts on what they're able to run out there in terms of payroll, what they are running out there in terms of payroll, and, if they are aware of kind of the response that, even just the conversation about the number it seems like, really dominates the landscape. It's not what they're doing. It's almost how much they're spending. And sometimes you do wonder if people are actually that concerned about what they're doing and just, you know, more worried about the number itself. It's like sometimes people, it seems like, would want to spend money just for the sake of spending money.
With the questions in the middle of the infield, if Mercer was going to go for less than $6 a year, should they have made a deeper run at him?
Yeah, I mean, there's enough. I was surprised, frankly, that Mercer went this early for more than $5 million, just based on the production and, you know, what guys were getting in free agency the last couple of years. So I think that they're probably better off looking for somebody maybe with a better glove, you know, whether it's a Echevarria. Jose Iglesias is definitely the best of that non-Machado shortstop market. Freddie Galvis is a guy who also plays good defense and offers pop. So they really seem to like Eric Gonzalez, the guy they acquired earlier this offseason. I don't know if they would necessarily view Jordy as enough of an upgrade over that to pay, you know, $5+, $6+ million when they do have other needs, you know, where they can upgrade in a more significant way, you know, for that money. So I don't necessarily think so, just based on the amount of time that's left in the offseason, the number of trade targets and free agents in terms of shortstops who are still out there.
What does the conversation go like between Neil Huntington and Clint Hurdle when they talk about the idea of an opener as a part of this rotation?
Yeah, it's funny because I think we probably asked Clint about it last season, and it was, you know, they kind of just dismissed it to start with. Neil was a little more open-minded to it from the get-go, just understanding kind of the way that the Rays did it out of necessity. They both seemed really kind of unified in that front when we talked to him about over the last couple of days. You know, Neil is not saying that it's a thing that they're definitely going to do. You know, it's an option that they have just in case they don't find what they're looking for in a fifth starter, or if, you know, Jordan Lyles comes to camp and doesn't, you know, earn that spot 100% entirely as a starter, or Kingham brought the same way, or whoever else they go out and they add this offseason. Clint seems on board with it. He is another guy who's going to say, you know, it's tough to do with multiple spots in the rotation over a 162-game season. But honestly, the idea, I don't think, would be to do that. It's one spot, and it's probably only, you know, so long as, you know, basically waiting for Mitch Keller, you would assume. So it seems like a short-term thing. They're on the same page with it. You know, I'd imagine they're going to have to get some buy-in from the players. But, you know, seeing the success that it had, especially in Tampa last season, I don't think it's necessarily a hard sell to guys when it works.
Your spot at Mandalay, I think, is Lupo, Wolfgang Puck's spot, by the way. You been there?
You know, you'd be surprised to learn that I did not do a lot of high-class dining this week here in Vegas. No.
It's not high-class. It's like a bar kind of place. It's okay.
I did not, but that's a little bit more up my alley.
It's no Three Keys Brewery, Adam.
Yeah. Make your way down there into the lobby. Go to Lupo. That's what you're going to like.
I appreciate the advice. I could have used it about 3 or 4 days ago.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all
not
right.
Do we have a ton of free time, to be honest with you.
Again, there is no time. There is no clock in Vegas. Go. You know, I mean, you could get Colony drunk by noon and nobody looks at you funny.
Yeah, but you can do that in Bradenton, too. Heck, you guys can do that right there every day.
Look at this guy firing shots like it's
Natty Light, and he'll do the rest.
Firing shots like it's midseason at us. Well, I wish the temperature would rise. I feel baseball in my bones.
No offseason for Adam Barry.
No, none at all. Adam, get home safely. Have a great rest of the winter meetings, and we'll talk a lot of baseball real soon.
All right, good talking with you guys. Take care.
The best. He's Vegased out. I could tell. He's done with it.
Well, it's like 6:45 there too. So
that's all right. What, you never been up at 6:45, hungover, still drinking? Jim?
Barry's responsible.
Maybe.
Wait till UNH comes to town for that weekend.
Jim, oh, I know.
Oh, man. Pitt's Vegas for Jim right here. He's going to make it happen.
Put Fitty on UNH at that sports
That's book. Right. I forgot about that.
Uh-oh.
You know, this is big. Who do they play Division I this, like, before they play Pitt for the next couple of years? I didn't.
They played Colorado this year.
They could probably win that game.
Well, they didn't. They lost. Yeah. by a lot.
What I'm getting at is you could maybe start to bet UNH.
I know.
Like you haven't already.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.